Well, as you can see from the screen, my name's Richard Mills, and I'd like to wish you a happy Christmas and great to see you. It's my privilege to bring the message tonight. So let's bow our heads and pray as we come before our Lord, our God Almighty. Lord God Almighty, we praise you for Christmas, and we pray that tonight you will speak to all our hearts. Speak through your word, and speak through the words I have to say. We pray this in your Son, Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, as a minister, you come to preparing a talk for Christmas, and let me tell you, it's pretty hard to say something fresh, especially when you're like me and you've been doing it for more than 20 years. This year, I read through the accounts of the birth of Jesus, and I realised that I'd preached a lot of Christmas services, a lot of Christmas topics. So I'd preached on things such as Joseph and Mary in the stable, and Joseph and Mary travelling from Nazareth to Bethlehem, and then that there was no room in the inn. An angel appears to Mary. Mary visits her cousin Elizabeth, and they're both expecting at the same time. Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. The shepherds and the angels appearing to the shepherds in the fields. Also preached on the wise men coming to worship Jesus. And we have got lots of wise men. You might even recognize some of them from our walk through Bethlehem, some of the faces, ones in the audience tonight. I've also talked about how the baby Jesus grew up, didn't just stay a baby, to become the adult Jesus. And then I've talked on the idea of Christmas is all about God coming into the world. I was thinking, what have I not preached on? And as I read through it, I thought, I've never preached on this particular person. I've never actually focused on Joseph. What was his perception of the events that very first Christmas? If you have a handout in front of you, it would be really helpful to have it open, the coloured one. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 23. And my first point about Joseph is this. He's not just an average Joe. We don't know a lot about him. He's only mentioned in the infancy narratives in Luke chapters 1 and 2 and in Matthew 1 and 2. But the time Jesus grows up and begins his public ministry, he's no longer around. However, the mother of Jesus, Mary, is. So the lack of mention of Joseph means that he's died. The account of Jesus' birth is described from Mary's perspective in the Gospel of Luke, but it's described from Joseph's perspective in Matthew's Gospel. In Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 to 17, there's a genealogy. And Jesus' legal lineage is traced back to both Abraham and David. He is in the line of both the father of the Jewish people, Abraham, and also the greatest of the Jewish kings, King David. He's thus identified with the royal throne of David. Jesus is the king. And the major theme of Matthew is the coming of the king and the setting up of the kingdom of God. The kingdom is not nationalistic, although its roots are in Israel's royal line of David. And it is through Joseph that this line is traced. Thus, when the census is taken, Joseph and his wife have to go to Bethlehem to register because it's the hometown of King David and also the hometown of Joseph. So Joseph, although he is a carpenter, is in the line of royal kings. Let's think about Joseph as a carpenter. Last year, we travelled to Israel and we visited a recreated village in Nazareth. Nazareth is a large city nowadays, but in the middle of it, they've sort of created this parkland. And you can see, it looks a bit like a village 2,000 years ago. In the middle of the village is a carpenter's shop. And you can see the people sort of standing around. And here's the carpenter a bit closer up. Now, Joseph was a carpenter. And Jesus is mentioned as following in his footsteps. Before his public ministry, he is seen described as the carpenter from Nazareth. Think about being a carpenter. What would Joseph have been like? What would Jesus have been like? Carpenters were and are real men who work with tools in their hands, and they would have had calluses and they would have had muscles. Maybe an equivalent today in Australia would be this sort of bloke, wearing a blue singlet and driving a ute. You see, Jesus is described as being, sometimes some people think, meek and mild. He's anything but. He was a blokey bloke. Joseph, though, is described as being a righteous man in our passage in verse 19. He is pledged to be married to Mary. But because he finds out she is pregnant, he does not want to expose her, as it says, to public ridicule. So he proposes that he divorces her privately. What does this mean? When I was a kid, I always thought, how does this work out? He's engaged, but then he gets divorced. What does it mean? We need to understand that the process of marriage was different in those days. It was a bit more complicated. So it's actually a three-step process. Firstly, there's the engagement process. Engagement occurred when a couple were very young and was usually arranged by their parents without any meaningful contact or consent on their part. Maybe it might have even been arranged by a matchmaker. Following this, one day would come a betrothal. This was a confirmation of the engagement that involved the consent of both parties. It was a formal arrangement with witnesses on both sides, an agreement of the bride's dowry. If the engaged couple decide on meeting each other not to proceed, then the engagement could be broken. But the betrothal was different. Once it had entered into, it had the legal force of marriage and could only be broken by divorce. The couple would be known as husband and wife, but would not live together. And sexual relations would not be expected or permitted. The third stage was the marriage proper. And this would take place at the home of the bride's father and be followed by 7 days of feasting. And remember, we saw a little bit of that in the DVD, the feasting. Mary and Joseph are carried on people's shoulders. And then the bride would move to the husband's home. It was during this second stage, the betrothal, that the conception of Jesus takes place. Joseph and Mary were legally committed to each other, but were not living together as man and wife. Joseph found the situation incredulous and was only persuaded not to go through with his plan to divorce Mary because of this revelation from an angel in a dream. Let's think about Joseph and dreams. Thinking about Joseph in the New Testament and his dreams reminds me that God does communicate through dreams. God does it. Remember in the Old Testament, the first book of the Bible, in book of Genesis? Coincidentally, or not really, the guy who has lots of dreams is the patriarch Joseph, thousands of years before the Joseph, the father of Jesus. Joseph of the Old Testament has a number of dreams that are used by God to communicate his plans and to reveal the future. He too, like Joseph, the father of Jesus, ends up in Egypt. And Joseph in the Old Testament is mightily used by God, and the New Testament as well. Let's think about revelations in dreams. There's actually, Joseph goes through 4 dreams that are described in Matthew 1 and then 3. Matthew 2, 3 more in Matthew 2. We saw two of them in the DVD. The first one is the one in our passage about Mary being made pregnant by the Holy Spirit. The identity and mission of Jesus also revealed to Joseph. Let's have a look at verses 18 to 19. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. But because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, didn't want to expose her to public ridicule, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. He is surprised by the news. Sometimes fathers are surprised when they hear the news about their wife being pregnant. Let me share with you a personal example. And I have checked with my wife, and it's all right to share this. We have three children. You can see, there's me, there's my wife, there's Jono, who's 21, Sam, who's 20, and Lucy, who's 15. So there's a 5-year age gap between Sam and Lucy. After Sam was born, my wife Marge had pretty severe postnatal depression. So we're not planning to have any more children, and she was on very strong birth control pills. One Sunday morning, when I was at the early church service, she was thinking about how she'd been quite sick lately and also had put on weight. She couldn't work out why. Then she decided, maybe. And she did a test with an old pregnancy test kit that we had in the house, and she was astonished when it was positive. She did not tell me at the later service. She came and she just didn't tell me. But then after we got back home, she sat me down on the bed and said, "This is my news." To say that I was stunned was an understatement. I immediately rushed out to the chemist and brought two more new pregnancy tests, and both of them gave a positive result. We saw the doctor, and she was told that she was 4.5 months pregnant, which also came as a shock. If you cannot work out why Marge didn't know she was pregnant, you can ask her if you really, really want to know. We ended up, though, with a lovely daughter, but we were both greatly surprised. But that's nothing compared to Joseph. Joseph would have been astonished, surprised, and completely overwhelmed because he was not exercising marital relations with his betrothed, with Mary. But as a result of this first dream, he marries Mary and doesn't have marital relations with her until after Jesus was born. Let's look at verse 20 and 21. After Joseph had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Well, in Matthew 2, there's three more dreams that Joseph experiences. After the wise men or magi visit, Joseph has a dream and he's told, "Take your family to Egypt because Herod is jealous about another king and he's going to wipe out all the baby boys," which he does do. So they escape to Egypt. Dream number two. Then, after they've been in Egypt for a while, dream number three. Joseph is told by the angel, "You can go back to Israel." Then dream number four. In the last dream, Joseph is instructed, "Go to Galilee," which they do, and they live and settle in Nazareth. Let's think about what actually happens when Joseph takes his family to Egypt. Why does he do it? Because there's the threat that Jesus will be killed. The story of Jesus' flight to Egypt, recorded in Matthew 2, is interesting in terms of the refugee situation in our world today. Jesus himself began his life in a situation quite similar to that of many undocumented children at international borders are facing today. I find it sobering and humbling that we worship the God who became man in the form of a child refugee. You know, there are some Christians who are fighting for refugee rights in Australia, and they draw their inspiration from this account. Maybe the fact that Jesus and Joseph and Mary were refugees might help us to reconsider our attitude to refugees in Australia and encourage us to fight against injustice in our world against refugees. We can admire Joseph, who wants to protect his family from unjust persecution. What's the revelation given to Joseph about Jesus? Well, let's think about this. I told you before that we have three children. For each of them, the first time I got to see them was in the ultrasound. Now, that's not one of them. I just got this off the internet. For me, as a dad, it made it much more real to actually see, because it's moving, see a real live human. Having children once they're born, and even before they're born, once you see the ultrasound for a dad, it's much different for the wife, because the mum can actually feel it inside them, makes you start to think about, what are they going to be like? What will they do? How will they turn out? But you don't really know until they grow up. But Joseph was different. He's told what's going to happen. As if he's sort of given a trip in a time machine. He's told what Jesus is going to be like. It's revealed to him directly by God through the angel in a dream. So have a look at verse 21. Mary will give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. See, Jesus grows up, exercises a public ministry, and becomes the saviour of humankind. He dies on the cross to take the punishment that we deserve. We all deserve to be condemned by God because we don't put him first. All who trust in Jesus as their Lord and Saviour have their sins forgiven. And tonight, as we come to communion, we're going to reflect on that. And we eat the bread and drink the grape juice or wine. Remember what Jesus has done for us. We look back. But Joseph, it was told before Jesus was even born what he was going to do. Our passage also contains the revelation that Jesus is Emmanuel, which means God with us, verse 23. Joseph would have been well aware of this. He has the four dreams. He has direct revelation from God. He would have observed Jesus growing up. Let us consider his response. What's his response? What does he do? Well, in our passage, it contains it. He's a righteous man. He wants to do the right thing because he wants to divorce Mary quietly. But after the revelation that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit, he does what is commanded by him. Look at verse 24. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. His response is to believe in God. Believe that his son Jesus is God. He's going to be the Savior who's going to take away the sins of the world. And his belief manifests itself in obedience. He believes the revelation and obeys God's commands given through the angel. In Matthew 2, we see three more times he is obedient to the revelation given through dreams. Well, what's our response? We don't have revelation like Matthew through dreams. God doesn't usually do that in Australia in 2014. But he does it through his Bible, the Word of God. We already have the revelation of Jesus in the Bible. If you're not sure about what it means to believe in Jesus, we've got this little book called The Search, Gospel of Luke. Take one and find out and be sure. I'd also be very happy to talk with you more about this. My details on the back of the handout. Give me a ring or email me. Because I want us all to be sure, like Joseph, I want us to respond with faith and obedience. As you come to communion tonight, you might like to recommit yourself to Jesus, or even commit yourself for the first time. Say, yes, I want to follow Jesus as my ruler and my Saviour. You see, we should all respond to Jesus with faith and obedience, like Joseph did.